It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table.
We are back at Naomi's Table. Hope you can pull up a chair because we are going to start a three-part Bible study with our excellent teacher, Sunny Shell. And this one is on Proverbs 31:17, and we're titling it, She Can Dress Herself. So we're going to do this in three parts. Today is part one. Sunny Shell, welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be back at the table.
Well, we've got a lot of people scooting in and scrunching in. There's lots of room here at the table. We're really going to dig into Proverbs 31:17 and three delicious morsels. Why don't you tell us about this, Sunny?
Well, we're going to break it up into She Can Dress Herself will be the first one. The second one will be She Dresses Herself with Strength. And the third segment that we'll do is She Makes Her Arms Strong. And this is, of course, as you said, all from the Proverbs 31 woman, specifically in verse 17, which says, I am going to, she dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. And even though it sounds like a very short verse, it's so rich and so full of wonderful spiritual teaching and is filled with amazing application for women in today's world that I thought it would be better if we broke it up into three. So we're going to start with the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to share with the gals what it actually means where it says she dresses herself with strength, what that term means, because I think if I think about it, well, if someone were to say she dresses herself with strength, you tell me, Amy, what that would sound like to you. What picture do you get from that?
Dressing myself with strength. Well, I guess the power suits. Yeah, I draw from my own career thing. So yeah, the power suit. I want to look strong. I guess I want to look like I'm not going to be intimidated. Am I close?
Okay. you are. Yeah, I was just thinking about putting on clothes.
That's probably a good idea.
Oh, yes, it's illegal pretty much everywhere. I was just thinking dressing herself, and dressing herself with strength just means you're dressed kind of like we talked about when we were at the table a few segments ago about just looking kept. Mm-hmm. You don't have to spend that much time, but looking kept. And it's interesting what kind of thoughts gals would have, and I encourage anyone who's pulled up to the table to just think about that for a second. What visual do you get when you think about dressing yourself, and then specifically with strength? Some gals will think what you were thinking, and I've had some friends say, you know, even an outfit that had maybe a cape, you know, blowing in the wind behind her, you know, the superwoman.
Of course.
Attitude or idea that we have of women today, especially, unfortunately, in the church as well as in the world. And so I want to take what we think about it on our own. Some of the deceptive ideologies of the worldly feminism rather than true feminism in which God has defined it to be, and then take you to what it actually means. That term, she dresses herself, is translated. It's actually a Hebrew phrase. It's an idiom. And what it means is she girds her loins.
Ah, I've heard that before.
Yeah. Oh, have you? Now, what do you think of when you hear that term instead? Because that's actually what it means. She girds her loins. Now, what do you think of what visual do you get?
Well, now I'm thinking a little more biblically because that's where it comes from. Now I'm thinking, okay, if I'm going to do that, I'm going to dress protectively because I've got something to treasure, which is my hope and my strength in Christ. And so that's where my mind goes when I think of girding loins.
Wow. Wow. That's wonderful. Well, that's actually where we're going. The idiom, gird one's loins, let me tell you what that actually means. It means to prepare oneself for something requiring readiness.
Hmm.
So it really goes along with what you were saying.
Okay.
With strength and endurance, as if you were, if you're thinking you're going on a long travel.
Okay.
You would prepare yourself. You would dress yourself with readiness. You're not really thinking necessarily of looking good or whatever. You're thinking, what do I need for this journey? And so that's what it means. That idiom means to gird your loins. It means to prepare yourself for something requiring readiness,
mm-hmm.
for strength, and for endurance. And so you were really close with what you were thinking. That was pretty cool.
Well, and I've been doing a lot of thinking about some of the things that you would say, well, I need to get prayed up. There are a lot of situations that we walk into mm-hmm. where we're not in the Word. We don't pray yeah. about it first, and we go in and we're not dressed for strength. So that would be kind of the opposite of girding your loins, I would think.
That's exactly right, and that's a command from God that we're supposed to do. You see that that idiom is actually used throughout Scripture, to gird up your loins, to dress yourself, to prepare mm-hmm. yourself, you know, and it is for readiness. It's to do something, and if we remember, even in Scripture it says, you know, blessed are the feet, beautiful are the feet, who have been prepared, you know, with the readiness of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't think of that our lives here, that is our purpose, to preach the gospel, to live the gospel, to teach the gospel, and to have it just oozing out of our pores, and we should always be ready. We should be ready, as Scripture says, in season, out of season. There's so many Scriptures that we could pour over from Old and New Testament that talk about Christians are always supposed to be ready. We're always supposed to be awake. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus told his disciples, the three of them that were with him, Peter, James, and John, mm-hmm. to pray. And why did he say to pray? So that they would be ready. It wasn't because Jesus needed their prayers. He's
right.
God. He said, you need to pray so that you don't fall into temptation.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying the enemy is about to come. Some horrible things are about to happen, and it's going to overtake you, so you need to stay awake and pray so that you can be ready. And that is something, as you said, that we are not quick to do anymore. We are not quick to, as women, to gird our loins. We are not prepared in prayer and then in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Rather, we spend more time listening to 2-minute broadcasts about something, reading a devotional online about other women's stories and feelings, other books, and other people basically talking about God rather than us actually talking to God ourselves.
Mm-hmm. That is so rich, Sunny, because, you know, we just open ourselves up to all kinds of temptation when we don't dress in strength, when we don't do that. So, and I'm not talking just about sexual temptation, which is probably the first
That's
thing
right.
women think about. It's that fleshly temptation of our own strength, of not looking to Him, and it can lead us down all sorts of very sad paths.
Oh, absolutely. And speaking specifically, since the studies on submissiveness, that's one place that we've seen, unfortunately, even in the church, where women are not practicing biblical submissiveness. I'll give you an example that I'm sure immediately you will, and I'm sure other ladies out there will be able to relate to, which is how many women think they're more spiritual than their husbands?
Mm. Probably quite
Most
a few.
Most of them.
Yeah. They think, well, my husband works all day. He doesn't have time to spend with the Lord, so that's me.
Yes, exactly. And we spend so much time in women's Bible studies. As a matter of fact, all over the world, there are more women who are signed up for Bible studies and actively, you know, doing Bible studies than there are men. And because of that, we assume, we already know what that means, but we assume
yes.
that because we're in study more, that makes us more spiritual. We forget that God has ordained a man to be your spiritual leader, which means regardless of how much we study, we try to in our own flesh, our husbands are always going to be given by God
mm-hmm.
more spiritual aptitude to lead us than we will ever have. Because it's God ordained. It's kind of like being in the boat where they were, the disciples were with Jesus in the storm, and they're trying to get all the water out by their own strength, and it's just not working. The more they're doing it, the more they're drowning when they should have been resting with the Lord. See, because Jesus has authority and He's God, He can do whatever He wants, and they forgot that. They forgot God was with them, and they were trying to usurp basically His authority by trying to save themselves. And that's kind of what women do. We sit here and we study and study and study, and because, as we just read this scripture earlier, we are more easily deceived.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were the first to be deceived, not man, and that's why God put man over us as our protection, not because we're stupid, but as a protection. He loves this girl so much
mm-hmm.
that He provided double protection for her, male leadership here on earth, and Christ Himself, who is over the man. And so, you know, we're doubly protected. Poor guys. They've just, you know, they don't have anybody else here on earth. They're kind of out there on their own, and they're very, very much like in the garden when Eve first sinned, God came looking for Adam.
Mm.
You know, so out of love for our husbands, knowing that we're doubly protected because we are the weaker vessels God made us, we need to want to all the more want to, out of love for Christ and our husbands, to submit under them instead of flaunting what we think is our spiritual aptitude, because it looks as if we spend more time in study.
Yeah.
And choose not to submit to them, choose to tell them what to do or make them feel stupid or belittle them somehow and feminize them that way to encourage them to be quiet because we're smarter, because we've been in the Word more.
But you know, Sunny, I noticed that in that example you gave of God coming to look for Adam, he didn't allow Adam to point to the woman and say, well, it was her fault, which he tried to do.
God, yes, he did.
Yes. God made sure that we all knew that it was the man who was supposed to be taking responsibility here. So I just want to point that out
exactly
to women who haven't remembered that. Or
Oh, absolutely. And to point out to the women, who was the one who got, even though the woman sinned first, who was the one that got the more grave discipline?
Yeah.
It was Adam.
Exactly.
Because for women, our discipline, our punishment, or as someone would put it, our curse, would be, first of all, it's only to women.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only to some women, because not all women have babies, you know, and so it doesn't cover everybody. Now, for Adam's sin, the whole world, all creation, not just men, not just women, but every animal, every living thing, the earth, everything was cursed because of him. So, you know, who did God look at to be more responsible for the sin?
Yeah, he definitely looked at the man who was supposed to be covering the woman. Yeah.
That is exactly right. And he didn't do his job, and it was such a severe thing in the sight of God that he showed that by how he punished them. He punished the man far worse and gave him a graver punishment than he did the woman. And so we need to remember that. And because of that, again, thank God for the double covering.
Mm-hmm.
Look at submissiveness as a gift from the Lord, because it is, and a special power from God, because it is, and not to use it. So we need to dress ourselves with strength. That means we need to dress ourselves with God's word. We need to dress ourselves in prayer. We need to dress ourselves in humility. And we need to remember that we are bondservants of the Lord. We are not servants. We're not employed by him. He doesn't pay us because he doesn't owe us anything.
Mm-hmm.
We're bondservants. We're his slaves. We owe him everything. He owns us.
He does indeed. In this Bible study that you have here, I just encourage women to go ahead and download this today from naomistable.com. It is so rich. We're in the 10 minutes that we have, Sunny, we can only touch on a little bit of it. One of the things that we must address ourselves with that you talk about is self-control. And a lot of us as women, we don't even know what that looks like. And we need to start over. We need to just kind of forget everything we've been taught and go to the Word of God and understand what does self-control look like?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
All right. Well, that's all the time that we have for in this segment. Now, we're going to do part 2 and 3 in the next couple of days. And we just ask that you stay with us on this. We're studying Proverbs 31:17. She can dress herself. Sunny Shell, thank you for talking with us through part 1 of this Bible study.
Always great to be here.
All right. We will be right back.